Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is wonderful to be here tonight. It's wonderful to have this opportunity. Praise the Lord. And we are here to worship God. We are here to sing His praises. We are here to give Him our hearts. And we are here to study His Word. We're going to do all of that tonight. But before we do anything, I'm going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this evening, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thy perfect will would be done, asking that Thou wouldst lead us tonight, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst show us what we must do. I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst inspire us to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Abide over this entire service. Let Thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Let us all be filled with Thy Spirit. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with number 115 in the chorus book tonight. I will enter His gates. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus. And He does put that joy in our hearts, doesn't He? Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 15 and sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Open." The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garment. Heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy. Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you know, there was a time when we were all a mess, but Jesus did make everything right. And it's such a wonderful thing that he could take something so ugly and turn it into something beautiful. So why don't we go to number 5 and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Lord. There's a reason he was able to do that. It's because he is Lord and Lord of all. Why don't we go to number 72 and sing, for he is Lord. Number 72. For he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus. is Lord, for He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And you know, I love singing that song. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get to sing that very song in heaven someday. Praise the Lord. And we do serve a wonderful God. And He is Lord. He's the Lord of glory. Why don't we look across the page and sing number 68, if I can remember how it goes. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we know that song, it's all about Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. He is the Prince of Peace, and He is the everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. And you know what? He's here tonight. And since we know who He is, why don't we reach out and touch the Lord tonight? Let's sing number 76.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes.
passes by, you will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to know that he's here with us tonight and we can reach out to him. Praise the Lord. You know, he's not going to leave us down here floundering by ourselves. He's right here with us. Praise the Lord. And I am so thankful to know that. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection and we'll sing one more song and then let Shirley get started. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings, and thy many abundant blessings. We know that it is only by thy graciousness, by thy mercy, that we are here today, and we thank thee for all thy provisions, for all that thou hast done for us. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for the sake of thy kingdom and for the sake of thy holy name. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst bless the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus and the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you know, we live in a world that is fraught with peril. There's all kinds of things that could go wrong, all kinds of problems we could have, but you know, if we just learn to trust in Jesus, he will take care of us. Why don't we go to number 55 and sing Safe Am I? Safe am I in the hollow of his hand. Shelter o'er with his love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me, for he keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Sheltered o'er, sheltered o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe will harm me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Sheltered o'er, sheltered o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe will harm me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, just keep your focus on Jesus and everything will be okay. Praise the Lord. We'll let Shirley get started then. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank God. Our God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be able to sing to Him, you know, to know Him now. I just, you know, do we half understand, I wonder, who God is and how great He is and how mighty He is. You know, we're talking to the Creator. You know, we're praising the Creator. We're worshiping Him. You know, it's nonetheless. And you know why? He even bears with us. I ponder that so many times. You know, we could go to Him at any moment, any opportunity. There's not a human on this earth that could ever be that available and that caring and that loving and that concerned. There is no one to compare to the Lord, and yet He's the mighty one that inhabits eternity. He's the Creator. He's the Lord of Lords, God of Gods. There's none like Him, and yet here we are tonight. We're here. We're here to worship Him. We're here to praise Him. We're here to give Him our hearts. And He's looking for that kind of person. He's looking for worship. He needs that kind of worship. He said, if these would hold their peace, even the very rocks would cry out. And, you know, it's time to worship the Lord. It's time to praise Him. It's time to get right with Him. And praise the Lord. He's given us another opportunity here tonight. And I'm so thankful. God is so good. He's been so patient with us. And we're blessed. We're blessed to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody here tonight. And thankful for everybody online and just praising and worshiping with us here. And oh, we're just going to believe that God's going to be here. God's going to help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, that You've given us another opportunity, Lord. Oh, God, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord. Oh, God, great is Thy love and compassion toward us, Lord. And oh, Thy mercies, that don't fail, Lord God. And here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. And we just thank you, God, that we can come here tonight, that we can worship you, that we can draw nigh to you, Lord, that we can hear your word, and that we can sing your praises, God. And I pray, oh God, that you'd find us acceptable in thy sight, Lord. Oh God, that every hindering spirit and every work of darkness, everything, oh God, that would try to distract, oh God, would be gone. In the name of Jesus, God, for your high and lifted up your praise fills the temple, Lord. Oh God, and we do cry out to you, Lord. We do worship you, Lord. Oh God, we do give you thanks, Lord. Oh God, for there is none like unto you, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd be here, Lord. Oh God, that you'd meet the needs of these people, Lord. That, oh God, that your spirit would draw unto yourself, Lord God. Oh God, for we seek, oh Lord, to please thee, Lord. We seek to come unto thee, Lord. Oh God, we seek to have faith, Lord. I pray that you'd help us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, that you'd speak to our hearts. And help us, God, oh Lord, give us faith to believe you. God, give us faith to stamp out the enemy, Lord, and every hindering spirit, God. Give us faith to stand true, Lord, and oh God, be counted worthy, oh God, to stand before you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray that you have your way here. Oh God, that you touch our hearts. And oh God, that you give the words that we need, the encouragement, Lord. Oh God, that it come from you, Lord. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Oh God, let the hindering spirits be bound in every work of darkness. Oh God, every thought that is not submissive to thee, I ask it to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, for we give it to you now in Jesus' name. Pray that you would have your way, Lord, recourse here in this place. In Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. With his help tonight, we're going to talk about faith to move God. Simple little thing. Just faith to move God. And it's not that we need, you know, a huge amount of faith. Just a little as much as a mustard seed can move mountains. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know what? He's given us faith. It's just a matter of showing it and letting the Lord use it and taking hold of it and not giving up, holding on to it. And by the grace of God, we're going to do that. We're going to prevail because, oh, how we live in these times. We live in these moments and we see a lot of unbelief. We see a lot of lack of faith, but I believe God has a people, and one thing for sure, he's given them faith. He's given them faith, for without faith it's impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know, there is a lot to that, that diligence that's needed to move God, to move mountains, to surrender the will, that diligence that comes when we please him because our heart is right. And I thank God. Diligence is our very best effort, a heartfelt effort, something that we put strength into. It's not a wimpy little thing, it's not a wishful thing. It's something that we come forth with force. The violent bring it by force. There's something about it when we're coming to God. It needs to be from the heart. When we draw nigh to God, yes, he said he would draw nigh to us, but he wants us to come with all our heart. He wants us to give him all our heart. We're not to reserve one little part and, claim it as our own. No, he wants all of it. He wants to take our whole life and change us. Because there's many people who want God, but they don't really want to surrender. They don't really want to give God everything. They reserve bits and pieces and maybe a whole bit and think that's good enough. I'll tell you what, that's not the kind of faith that pleases God. That's not the kind of faith that moves mountains. But I believe with the help of God, we can get to that place where we get that little bit of faith, even as a grain of a mustard seed, and please the Lord. Faith to move God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go. Let's go to Mark tonight. Let's, I believe it's the 11th chapter, and then we'll begin here and read some portions of Scripture, some examples from God's Word, I believe, and we'll see how He leads us here tonight. I'm going to start with, it's Mark, the 11th chapter, and we'll begin with verse 12 here. Faith to move God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, here is just a happenstance, and it seems that this was following his so-called triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It says on the morrow they had come from Bethany at this point, and obviously, I would assume it had been a full day, and it doesn't seem like they had eaten for a while. Jesus Christ was hungry, and I'm sure the rest of them that were with him were hungry too. And, you know, here he is, and he sees a fig tree, and oh, wow, that looked good. Figs were plentiful there in that land of Israel. And you know, he just thought maybe he'd find a tippet on there and be nourished. But it seems that when he saw that fig tree, he didn't see anything on it, and it wasn't the time, obviously, when they were fully ripened, but what would happen is before the figs fully matured, that they would be green, and they would be under the leaves, so they weren't real conspicuous, and yet if you turned the leaf, you know, you could see that there was a fig growing, and there'd be nourishment in that. But here is Jesus Christ, and he saw this fig tree, and, you know, he's hoping to find some fruit on it, and there was nothing but leaves, nothing but leaves. And it says, for the time of figs was not yet. But there was something else here. He knew that that tree was not even going to bear fruit, because when he looked under the leaf, there was nothing, there was nothing. And how sad it is, you know. You know, if you have an apple tree, you hope that it brings forth apples. You know, you just don't grow it so, you know, you can have the beautiful blossoms, I don't think. You know, you would love to see some apples mature and be able to pick them and, you know, maybe freeze some and, you know, make pies with some and, you know, eat them as you desire and on. But here's a fig tree, and there was going to be no figs on it. There were no figs under those leaves, and so it wasn't, you know, it was a bit discouraging for the moment, wasn't it? It wasn't what he had hoped for. And it tells us in verse 14, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, they didn't really understand all that was going on at this moment, but he's cursing that tree because it's not going to bear fruit. And, you know, as Christians, there is something that is very important. It is important that we bear fruit. We just don't come to Christ and do nothing and hide our talents under a bushel and you know, or put it in the ground and, you know, forget about it. No, God expects us to invest our life in the kingdom of God. He expects us to grow in Him. He expects us to do something for Him. He expects us to bear fruit. And that is such an important concept as Christians. You know, you're not going to get there instantly, but, you know, you give your life to the Lord, you surrender it, and then you are nourished by His Word and through prayer, and you begin to grow in the Lord and through discipleship and all those qualities and aspects there that the Lord would have for His people. So here it is. He cursed that tree because it wasn't going to bear fruit. And, you know, we see examples in the parables that he told where people came to him at the judgment time and they had no fruit. I tell you what, it wasn't good. For sure we want to bear fruit. Just as that tree needed to bear fruit. And so it goes on in verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And this is a sideline here, but how often is that the case today? How many so-called churches are houses of prayer where one can really find the Lord, where one can really grow in the Lord, where one can really be admonished in the ways of God, really be taught the scripture? So often you might find a bazaar in a church, or, you know, some kind of a fundraising event of some sort, or some kind of social event. Maybe they play bingo there. Maybe they have a beer parlor, for all I know. All kinds of unseemly things seem to happen in churches these days. And I have a feeling they're classified just as this, a den of thieves. A den of thieves. And as it continues, verse 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Oh, Jesus didn't mince words. He was right to the point, you know. He would tell them what they needed to hear. It wasn't around the bush, you know. He didn't say it so softly that, you know, they wouldn't understand what he was saying, but he taught in a way that they'd never heard before. And it wasn't as the others had taught. And the people were astonished at what he was saying. You know, it wasn't typical for what they have heard in the past. It wasn't like the scribes and the chief priests had presented it in the former times. And they didn't like it either. They didn't like what he said. But he was doing something. Oh, he was moving mountains in that sense. The Lord was teaching the people in such a way that their lives could be changed and they could be affected by the Word of God. But after he was there in the temple, it tells us in verse 19, and when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. They're astonished. They're astonished at how fast this happened, you know. It was just the other day when they had passed this fig tree and desired fruit of it, and there was none. And Jesus had cursed it. He had said, let fruit not grow on, or let this tree not grow anymore. Let fruit not be on here forever. You know, and not let no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, he said. And so it is. They found it shortly after that, and it was withered away. It was withered away. And, you know, they are amazed. They've walked with Jesus close to 3.5 years. This is getting toward the end of his ministry, I do believe. And so, you know, they should have, you know, be a little familiar with the ways of the Lord Jesus, it seems. But still, they are astonished. And I think we would have been too. God was manifested in the flesh and so amazing. And here it tells us in verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, simple words, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wow, that's really positive. He's comparing to what he did to the fig tree. It was actually an example in faith that he was showing as he ministered to the people. He was showing them how quickly faith can change things. And it was remarkable. That tree withered immediately. But he's comparing that to the faith that we need to have. He said, if you have faith, you could say unto that mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I think that's a beautiful definition of faith. We know it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews the 11th chapter. And that's right. It's things that you know, they're not apparent at the moment, but in your heart, you believe it's going to be so. And that's what he's talking about right here. He's talking about believing. No doubt. Just simple faith. Believing that what God said, that he will do. So he's talking about believing that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Simple faith in God. And then he went on, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. I remember one of the last conversations I had with Brother Lance. He was talking about the people in the Philippines and how it was there that, you know, they would believe God. You know, he would preach healing. The people would come forward and they would be healed. He preached that when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to receive a gift of the Holy Ghost. And he'd put them down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, and they would come up speaking in other tongues. That's faith. That's just the simplicity of faith, just believing what God said he's going to do and not allowing for doubts and fears and, you know, ups and downs and wonderments and all this and that. It's just believing what Jesus said is going to happen. And that's what he's talking about here. He gave that example of a withered fig tree, and the same could happen to a mountain if you just believe, hey, that mountain's in my way. And there are mountains in our way. And it might not be a literal mountain, but there's obstacles that come into our lives and act as hindrances and setbacks. But yet, we can rebuke those things in the name of Jesus and say, get thee hence, and it will go. Yes, that's right. There are hindrances that come up. I know Brother Tim had put an experience yesterday. He had this woman in the taxi, and she was a white woman, but she was also a Muslim. And as she was getting out or ready to get out, he noticed that something fell from her hand. And so she felt that something had fell from her hand too. But then they searched and they sought for it. They couldn't find anything at all in that taxi. But there was something in her hand that fell out. And it looked like gobbledygook from what Brother Tim saw when he just saw it out of the corner of his eye. And you know what? I think that was a manifestation of those evil spirits that had come into that woman's life. It's a hindrance. And you know, those old hindrances will arise. There's a lot of people that are embracing things in their lives, in their hearts, that don't belong, that separate them from God. Gobbledygook that needs to be removed in the name of Jesus and cast out. But praise the Lord, there's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And so it says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. That's very positive. There's no doubts or questions in that statement. But it does continue in verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And there's an important thing to know, because, you know, if you're harboring things in your heart and expecting things of God, you're not going to receive them. That can keep back His promises. That can keep back the Lord from really working in one's life. It's absolutely essential that we would forgive one another and not hold things inside that need to be given to the Lord. So there it is, that understanding here, that need, that necessity to forgive and to be right with the Lord, so that He can go and bless you in the ways that He so desires. But faith is a wonderful thing. And faith truly comes from God. You know, He gave us faith to reach out and even believe. There's so many people that go the other way. There's so many people that live in the world of doubts. There's so many people that embrace other religions and other philosophies. And, you know, may even say that there is no God. There's so many people that don't have faith. And what a wonderful thing that the Lord has put it in our hearts that we might believe Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to another familiar passage, Luke 18. I believe there's so much that the Lord teaches in these familiar passages. And it just always seems that it's wonderful to have these reminders. But here it is. It's another parable that Jesus told. And He's telling this parable specifically to teach a lesson. And it tells us right in the first verse, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, for this reason, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And here He's talking about not giving up, to have a persistent faith and a persistent prayer life. And the results of it is taught in this little parable that He tells. And here He explains in verse 2, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." So here is the situation. This woman had a cause, and she needed help. And she went to a judge. And he was a judge that didn't regard man, and he didn't fear God. You know, it wouldn't be your top choice, would it, to go to such a person. But here she is, regardless of who he is and how he feels, the type of person he is, she's going before him. And she's got something deep down inside. She has a problem that she wants resolved, and she's not going to give up. She's going to be persistent, and she's going to fight for this. And this man, although he's an unbeliever, he doesn't fear God, he doesn't regard man, yet she continues to come to him, obviously, again and again and again, again and again and again. And pretty soon, that judge, he says, "Oh boy, you know, this continual coming wearies me. This persistence of this woman, she's bothering me. She's bothering me." And you know, pretty soon, even though he didn't fear God or regard man, he gave her what she wanted, what she desired, what she had need of. He heard her. He gave in. And the Lord Jesus was using this as an example to show us how our Heavenly Father will hear those that come before Him. And it tells us in verse 6, "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And, you know, that is such a beautiful thing, because who else could you go to continually? Who else would bear our burdens like our Lord and Savior does? You know, who else would listen to us as we cry and, you know, weep before him? You know, as you know, we bring our petitions again and again and again and again. But he's telling us in this parable that that's the kind of prayer that he regards. That's something that he looks for in people. It's that attitude that doesn't give up. That attitude that's consistent and keeps on. You know, Lord, I did see it today, but yet I believe. Lord, I did see it yesterday either, but I believe. And you know, you continue and continue and continue. And the promise is that God would avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. It might take a while, because sometimes the time isn't there, or maybe conditions in our heart aren't quite right, or something else that God sees beyond what we can see as human beings. But yet, he's there to hear those cries, those prayers. He's there to meet those needs. And who else could bear like that? Who else would care like the Lord Jesus? Oh, we have such a privilege. Let's go to another place for a moment, and I'll be coming right back here, so if you want to keep your fingers right there. But I just want to catch another little story that Jesus told, another parable in Luke the 11th chapter. And here he's talking about such a thing as, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. It's the 5th and 6th chapter, or verses rather, of chapter 11 here in Luke. And, you know, even though this might be a good friend of yours, it's midnight, and he's not going to want to get up and give you 3 loaves of bread. And he tells us, verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. But Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I think that's another important consideration when we think about faith that moves God, because importunity is an important aspect here. Another consideration here, this person was also entreating with a very intenseness. It most likely was something that was repeated and repeated with urgency, most likely very persistent, because it was of his importunity. It was a deep need. It was something that he had to have. And this friend was very urgent, or very urgently persisting, very pressingly entreating at this point. It was an importunity. And so Jesus is saying, you know, you're not going to just go to the door at midnight because it's your friend, but because there was an urgent need and this person was persistent, you go and answer the door and give him the 3 loaves of bread. And again, he's teaching us how to approach God and how to have faith. And then he goes on to say, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You see, there's effort in our approach to God. It's, you know, there's an asking, there's a seeking, and there's a knocking, there's a persistency in order to obtain the things that we need from God. And then he says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, what a precious thing. Oh, he wants his children to have the Holy Ghost. He wants to fill each and every one with the Holy Ghost. And you know, it's his will. It's his good desire. And he's just saying, if you ask for me bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. I'm not going to do that. A father wouldn't do that. You know, if you want a fish, I'm not going to give you a serpent. No. If you want an egg, I'm not going to give you a scorpion. And wow, if you want the Holy Ghost and you're seeking me with all your heart, I'm not going to give you something false. You know, because I know some people fear, you know, there are false movements. The devil does have things that he imitates. But when we're seeking the Holy Spirit, when we're seeking our Heavenly Father, he's not going to give you something else instead of the Holy Ghost when you beseech him, when you ask him with all your heart, when you seek and you knock. Oh, no, he's not. But praise the Lord, he expects us to come with urgency, with great desire, with a beseeching, with an entreatment, with great persistency. If it doesn't happen one minute, then believe it's going to happen the next. And believe it with all your heart, because the Lord sees that. He sees faith, and he's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. And as we go back to that portion in Luke 18, the parable that he told about the widow who came again and again and again and again and wearied that unjust judge, so much more our Heavenly Father will avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. It might take a while. It might not happen immediately. But he continues in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But then this question that we've considered and pondered, that Jesus Christ asked, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith on the earth. And here we are today. Here we are, and many things have happened in the process of time. And here in this land of the United States, it seems that we just see a little bit of the blessings of God. We're not really seeing God move as one might desire. But yet I know there is a faith that changes things. I know there is a faith that God puts in our heart. And you've all felt it at times. You felt that faith well up. You know when things seem dark and hopeless. And all at once the Lord puts faith in your heart. Maybe it's a scripture. Or one of his precious promises. Or somehow you just feel it welling up. And you know it's going to be okay. The Lord heard me. He knows my need. And he's going to answer. And he's giving me faith. Oh, praise the Lord for faith to please God. Oh, he would have us to have faith, and we must have faith. We're going to please God. We've got to have faith now at the end of the world, just as they had to have it in the former days. We've got to have it. And praise the Lord, I believe there are people that have faith. I know Jane was telling me just the other day that she was hurting and had need, and Sister Diane prayed for her, and she said God healed her. I thank God. That's beautiful. I was talking to Brother Bill Rahorse the other night on the phone, and he was telling me how God had answered several of his needs, things that he had asked us to pray about. You know, he had just retired, and his funds weren't coming through yet, and you know, the insurance plan, and it hadn't all come forth like it needed to, and he had asked people to pray, and praise the Lord, God began to move, and God began to change things, and got his last check, and it was more than three times more than he expected. You know, he was seeing wonderful things happen, and he went to the doctor and expected that they would have to take out blood. He's had this disease where they have to take blood out. And you know what? They looked at him and said, "Your blood is normal. Your blood is normal, Bill. Come back in 3 months and we'll check it again." But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God who knows how to intervene in our lives. He knows how to change things. He knows how to heal us. He knows how to deliver. He knows how to set the captive free. There's nothing too hard for our God. Oh, praise the Lord. I praise God. You know, sometimes it might not be immediate. I remember Sister Whitman, the story that was told, this dear woman in Clintonville, how, you know, she was waiting on the Lord and wanted healing. She had, I believe it was a gallbladder condition, and actually she was in the hospital and they were going to remove it the next day. But you know what? God moved before the doctor did, and she felt a warm hand touch that area of her body, and she knew God had touched her. God had healed her. She insisted that those doctors x-ray her again before they did any surgery, and you know what? They did. And everything was well. Praise the Lord. Our God is great and wonderful, and there is none like Him. There is none like Him at all. And I thank God. There's just been many times when He's touched me, when He's healed me. You know, I had a big sebaceous cyst that was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know, I just didn't know. I thought, "Well, Lord, I know You can take this away." And you know, I was told it was not going to be hard to remove if that was the case, but you know, I love to see the Lord work. I know there's nothing too hard for Him. And I just remember it was getting really quite large, the corner of my right eye. And you know, one day, it just exploded, so to speak. And you know, praise the Lord, it just, you know, pretty soon it was entirely gone. You know, I just had to thank the Lord, because I didn't have to seek the physicians, that the Lord took care of it. And I'm just so grateful. But that's the God we serve, this mighty God who hears our cries and knows our hearts and has promised to meet our needs if we'll just trust Him and not doubt. If we go to the 18th chapter, again, of Luke, we have this wonderful story of this man, and we know from the 10th chapter, Mark, that his name was Bartimaeus. And here it is, he heard that Jesus was passing by. Jesus was in Jericho, or he'd gone through Jericho, and here he was. Now he was on the edge of it, obviously, and this certain blind man who sat there begging heard the commotion, and he heard that Jesus was passing by. It was told him, and he began to cry out. He began to cry out, and I love this. He said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried again, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried again, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And you know, I don't know how many times. He kept on. And you know, it seems that there were those that told him he needed to hold his peace. He was being way too loud, way too noisy, and oh my, you can't make that noise. You can't disturb the peace like that. But the scripture tells us in verse 39, "But he cried so much the more." He held on. He cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heard that cry. Jesus heard that cry. It tells us in verse 40, Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." Oh, praise the Lord. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. God heard that cry. But see, you know, he didn't just whisper it, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You know, he wasn't whispering, you know, and he didn't just say it once. And it wasn't, you know, some people think when they pray, they're just going to pray in their head. And you know, I'll tell you what, yes, God hears that. But I'll tell you what, there's something of strength. There's something that shows faith when somebody cries out. Oh, I'll tell you what, I remember, Sister Vicki, when you received the Holy Ghost. I remember that you were crying out. Yes, and I remember how wonderful that was, that cry of somebody totally giving their heart to the Lord. Oh, the Lord hears that cry. You know, it made, you know, that persistent cry that, you know, doesn't care who hears me. Or, you know, even if somebody tells you to be quiet, it doesn't matter. I'm going to touch God. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to be healed. If I could just touch him, if I could just have him hear me, it will make a difference. And of course, you know, that familiar story. We sang that song, "Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by." And you know, there is that woman with the issue of blood. And oh my, she had a need, didn't she? She had a need, and how she desired to be healed. Fifth chapter of Mark tells us about that, and it tells us how this woman, it had been 12 years she had suffered this thing, and she had sought all the physicians, many, many physicians, spent all her money, and just gotten worse. Just gotten worse. And then she heard that Jesus was coming. Oh, Jesus was coming. And she just thought in her heart, "Oh, if I could just touch his clothes, I just know I'll be made whole." And so it was. Here it is. Here it was. It was a great throng of people that were surrounding Jesus. He was on his way to the home of Jairus, and he was going to do a work there, but the people were following him. And so it was a great throng of people. But anyway, this woman pressed her way into that crowd. I don't know how she did it. I don't know if she had to crawl at times or how many people she bumped or whatever, all and how she had to do it. But she went through the obstacle race until she got to Jesus. Until she could find him, until she could touch him. She persisted, she continued, and she got there. And then she touched him. She touched his garment. She touched the hem of his garment. And you know, Jesus could tell something happened. He could feel that virtue came up out of her, out his body, and he could tell that somebody touched him. And you know, that touch made her whole. She could feel that the fountain of her blood was dried up and that plague was gone. And she knew that there was a difference. Oh my, and she cried. Oh, I don't know if she cried, but Jesus asked and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples thought, well, what a question. Here we are. You know, we're all so close here that we must be bumping people continuously. And, you know, you're saying, "Who touched me?" But Jesus knew this was not an ordinary bump. It was not an ordinary touch. Somebody touched with faith. Faith that makes a difference. Faith to receive. And here it was. She touched him. and she was healed. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You know, I suppose it seemed a little strange to have done that, but that was the only answer she knew. And she was desperate. And she wanted to be healed. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord sees faith. If we can just but touch the hem of his garment, it may be crying out with all our voice, with all our strength, with all our might. It may be walking someplace until we get there. But the thing is, the Lord puts that faith in our heart so that we might touch him. And that we might be restored. And God sees that. God sees that faith. And he makes a difference. You know, Elijah, of course, was a man with great, great faith. I love his stories. I am sure you all do. And I think how it must have been a little bit, how, you know, Israel had backslidden. And they turned their heart to Baal as Ahab had misled them, very inappropriate leadership. And the people had followed after him. Of course, Jezebel was there also. And oh wow, such a hindrance. But anyway, Elijah turned the hearts of the people back to God. When he built that altar and prayed that the fire would come and consume the burnt offering and put all that water on it. God heard that prayer. God answered by fire. And suddenly the people knew that God was God. Oh, how precious it is to know that he is Lord, isn't it? How precious it is. But he turned the hearts of the people back to God. Because they were backslidden. And they didn't know. They were so confused. You know, when he came to them there on Mount Carmel and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be Baal, serve him." They didn't answer a word. They didn't know anymore. They were so confused. But praise the Lord, there was a man who had faith. There was a man who believed God. He knew his God. Listen, he's doing some bold things. You know, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. I mean, you know, he knew his God would come through. He had faith. He believed it. I don't think there was any hesitation or, you know, any reluctance to do so. He just went forward boldly and proclaimed what God would do, and believed that it would happen, and it did. I mean, he was so bold and so brave that, you know, not only did he put, you know, the sacrifice on the altar, but he poured water on it, didn't he? He poured water on it the second time, the third time, until that water ran about the altar and filled up the trench that he had built around it. There was so much water. You know, fire doesn't burst out of water. We take water to put out a fire. But he put water on that altar, sacrifice on that altar, and drenched it good. And yet God answered by fire. Oh, he knew his God, didn't he? He did know his God. But here it is. And then he took care of those false prophets. But then there was something else that needed to happen because of the idolatry, the unbelief. There had been no rain for 3.5 years. And there needed to be rain. And Elijah was going to believe that God was going to send rain. And I just love his faith. Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain." Well, I don't think there was any evidence of it at that moment at all. Ahab went up to eat and drink, it tells us. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And what did he do? He got down on his knees. He cast himself down upon the earth, it tells us. He put his face between his knees. And he began to pray. He began to pray. He had a servant with him, and you know, he prayed once, whatever that means. And then he had a servant go look toward the sea and see if there were any clouds in the sky. And the servant came back and said, no clouds. So what did Elijah do? Got back down there on the earth, put his face between his knees, and he began to pray. The second time, he prayed. The servant went down and checked it out and still no clouds. Happened a third time, fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. Finally, the seventh time, that servant came back. Oh, he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. A little cloud coming out of the sea like a man's hand. Oh, praise the Lord, the faith that Elijah had. And he knew that rain was going to come. He said to Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And oh, God had heard that prayer. God had saw that faith in that man. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And you know, I just love the faith that Elijah had. It says the hand of the Lord was on him. As this chapter ends, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran the chariot of Ahab. Oh, praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came on him and he could run faster than the chariot could go with the horses. Oh, praise the Lord. But that man had faith. It was, you know, there was no evidence of rain in the sky when he told Ahab to go eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. But Elijah knew his God. He knew that God would answer his prayer. He had that confidence in God. And you know what? He was going to pray until it happened. I think God wants us to have that kind of faith. That kind of faith that persists, that continues, that doesn't give up. That doesn't, you know, go away and say, well, okay, I guess God doesn't hear me then. Oh, well, God, maybe, you know, faith isn't for today. Oh, God, well, I don't even know if you're God anymore. I've had people, I asked just recently, who are in that kind of condition where if they felt like God wasn't answering, they weren't even going to believe in God anymore. But God looks for faith, and sometimes our faith is tried. Sometimes we're going to have to be consistent and persistent. You know, we're going to have to show that importunity there, that repetitive pressing on, entreating, inquiring with urgency, all of that, to show that we have faith. Faith that pleases God, faith that moves mountains. Let's go to Mark 9. Praise the Lord. And here we have a story, a real experience here. It wasn't just a parable, but here was a need. Here, if we go to Mark, the 9th chapter, and I'm looking at verse 17, there was a multitude again surrounding Jesus, obviously, and one of that multitude came to him and presented a need. It was an urgent need. It's a dire need. He said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Well, here again, this is quite a situation. This son was obviously possessed with devils. And, you know, his manifestations were horrendous. The spirit would take him and tear at him. And you know, he would gnash with his teeth and pine away. And, you know, the spit obviously would come down his face, his cheek. It was a dreadful thing to say or to see. And the father had gone to the disciples and asked them to cast out the devil that was in this son, and they couldn't do it. Verse 19 says, Jesus answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Quite a response here. But obviously, the disciples at that point did not have the faith necessary to deliver this man. So they brought this son to Jesus Christ. It tells us that in verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And there are other manifestations, obviously. It says in verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Oh, again, a very urgent need. Quite an urgent thing beyond what we could even think of often. This devil who was not only manifesting in filthy ways, but also trying to destroy this man, casting him into the fire or into the waters to destroy him. Oh, what a thing to watch. That had been our child. Oh, and so here comes his father, desperately, all one, a great need. A great need here. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, praise the Lord, if you can just believe, all things are possible. The man cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus heard him. Oh, the Lord heard this need and saw it and had mercy. Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Quite a story. The spirit came out with such violence that it left him just lying there motionless, as if he were dead. It appeared like he was dead. There was no strength in him, it seemed, this man. But praise the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And it was well. He was delivered. And I think it's very important how Jesus, when he rebuked that spirit, and look at, there's, you know, I charge thee. You know, it's done with authority. I charge thee, come out of him. And then he said, enter no more into him. It's over. You cannot go back. Enter not again into him. So he was soundly rebuked, that evil spirit. That spirit came out. It tore him. It rent him. But it came out. With force, yes. But it was out. And the man was delivered. And he was fine. He was set free from that terrible demonic spirit that had plagued him for years. Praise the Lord, that's our God. He's able to deliver. He's able to save. He's able to set the captive free. You know, the devil keeps his captives in bondage. He doesn't set anyone free. You know, he'll use a person until there's nothing left to use. And then that poor person will just be cast into hell. But our Heavenly Father delivers. He looseneth the prisoner. He sets the captive free. He brings deliverance to them that are bound. And praise the Lord, through faith, we can also have that opportunity to set the captive free through the power of God. To see them delivered. Praise the Lord. But the disciples didn't quite know. They had prayed for this man and nothing happened. They obviously didn't have the strength. And Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I've been working with a young woman. She's in Austria. And when she first wrote to Last Trumpet Ministries, it was quite a situation. She had some of our tapes and had listened to them. In fact, she played them. She actually works for the United Nations over there. And she's does investigations. And I'm sure it's quite the job, but anyway, there was a very oppressive woman that was in her office, and it was almost unbearable when she first wrote to me. And she honestly didn't know what she was going to do. In fact, she felt like she'd been cursed because as she sat there at her desk, and this woman has scriptures on her desk, and you know, she plays Last Trumpet tapes and this and that, but this other woman had a very oppressive Jezebel spirit, and she really didn't know how to deal with it. And you know, I began to minister to her and tell her things, and you know, the realization that if you know you really belong to the Lord Jesus, you really can't be cursed. And, you know, I told her how to rebuke the enemy and how to persist and how to fight. Because, you know, fighting is a part of our walk with Christ. You know, it's not an easy walk. We're going to have to fight if we're going to be true to Christ and prevail. If we're going to walk in this world and have victory, we're going to have to know how to fight spiritual battles. So anyway, this young woman began to fast and pray. And you know what? Things begin to change with this woman with the Jezebel spirit. And last year, toward the end of the year, she gave her a gift. And it seems that it kind of melted her. She just, you know, this mean woman. And there were other people in the office who couldn't bear her. She was oppressive in many cases. And, you know, obviously... somebody liked her. They, you know, held on to her for whatever favors she was rendering. But anyway, she was very oppressive and just like a bully. And you know, they just could hardly bear her at all. But our friend here in Austria began to fast and pray. And she prayed and fasted many days. and things begin to let loose. And I said at the end of last year, it seemed like things began to change with this little bunny. You know, it's kind of amazing what a little bit of kindness can do. And though, you know, you might have considered her an enemy, she treated her in a gracious way. And this woman began to respond. Well, I just got a letter from her. And she mentioned that she's had 3 years now in Austria, and it's been a very difficult and hard road, she writes. But she says, I am now witnessing to that lady with the Jezebel spirit. She is on sick leave, and we have been corresponding. It's really a miracle, and I am humbled by it. I tell her I am praying for her, and slowly God is opening up doorways in which she can trust me. She said already that I've helped her immensely. Tell you what, we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And I'll tell you what, my friend, you know, she's been praying and fasting again. I don't know how many times she's done that. But she's a woman of faith who believes that you can bring down mountains through the power of God, that you could prevail through the power of God. And you know, I've seen this consistency in her life, you know, since we began corresponding. And, you know, this is a remarkable thing because, yes, this oppressive woman that no one could bear, it seemed, is changing. The Lord is moving a mountain. And, you know, I thank God it's because of faith. That someone has faith. Even though here we are at the end of the world, God has a people. And praise the Lord, if we will yield our lives to Him, if we will surrender to Him, if we will just believe Him, He knows how to give us faith. That kind of faith that can move a mountain. That kind of faith that can set the captive free and bring deliverance to them that are bound. That kind of faith that can heal the sick, that can fill people with the Holy Ghost. And you know, we all, as human beings, have needs, you know, be it financial or physical, spiritual. There's nothing too hard for our God. There's nothing too hard for God, you know? He was the one that dried up the fig tree and said to His disciples, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a God that hears our cries. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's nothing impossible to them that believe. There's nothing too hard for our God. We serve the Mighty One. We serve the Creator. Oh, we serve the One that knows all things. And one day soon is going to judge this world. But praise the Lord, He came to this world to seek and to save those that are lost. He came to teach us how to have faith, how to respond, and how that we might have our prayers answered, and how to be consistent. Oh, how to be like that widow who was not going to give up even though that unjust judge kept on refusing. Oh, our God knows how to intervene. He knows how to change things, be it, you know, the most desperate need in the world. Maybe it's a loved one that's lost and needs salvation. Oh, maybe it's our health that's ruined, so it seems. But we serve a God who can do all things, and there's nothing too hard for Him. If we will but believe, if we could just but touch the hem of His garment, believe that, oh, He's going to have the answer. He's going to come forth. He's going to deliver. He's going to save. He's going to heal. If we can but just believe. Oh, praise the Lord, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Oh, I praise the Lord, there are a people that know their God and do exploits in spite of the darkness, in spite of the night, in spite of the unbelief. There are a people that are going to go forward and believe God. And, you know, we can all be that people. We can be part of the remnant of the Lord Jesus Christ that does exploits in spite of the darkness of the night. Oh, I praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that question was asked. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, praise the Lord. Let faith rise in our hearts. Faith to believe that we can be healed. We can be saved. We can be delivered. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can make it to heaven. We can walk in faith and believe God. Oh, praise the Lord, because we serve a God who is faithful. Praise the Lord. God who has compassion, who has mercy, who loves his people and responds to their needs. He responds to those desperate cries, those importunities that come by. He responds because he loves us and he has mercy and he cares. And he's listening. He's waiting for those that would seek him, those that would ask, those that would seek, those that would knock, those that would find him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that, oh God, we can find you. Oh, we can seek you while you yet may be found. And I pray, oh God, as we draw nigh to you, Lord, oh God, that you put faith in our hearts. Oh God, that you would help our unbelief, God. Oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, as we cry forth. And oh God, as we ask for faith, Lord, oh God, to believe you, to touch the very hem of your garment. Oh Lord, put that within us, Lord. Put it within us tonight, Lord, that you might meet our needs here tonight, Lord God. Oh God, that you might answer, Lord. Oh God, for we seek you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we seek you while you may yet be found. And we know that you are here. Oh God, ready to meet our needs, ready to answer. Oh God, ready to seek and to save those which are lost. Oh God, and to heal those that are sick. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I wonder if there's anybody here who wants prayer tonight. Wonder. Oh, praise the Lord. He passes by. We can reach out to him as he passes by. We can reach out to the one who has compassion like no other. Praise the Lord. Who wants prayer here tonight? I'm going to have Samuel come. If we can anoint with oil, we can believe God. Praise the Lord. He's here. He's here to meet our needs. Oh, God. We just thank you, Lord Jesus. There's no one like our Lord. And, you know, it's not, you know, maybe we've already come a million times, so it seems. But I don't think that matters to the Lord. He expects us to come until we receive the answer. He's expecting it of us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we believe you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
Well, praise the Lord. I think in closing, a wonderful song to sing would be number 95 in the chorus book. Hallelujah, He's an Answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah. name, and my faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.